Welcome to Walking for Water Teen Action on KXFM. My name is Cassidy Morgan, and I am a member of the Laguna Beach branch for Walking for Water. Walking for Water is a club that partners with Wisdom Spring to build wells and educate the people in developing countries. So far, we've worked in Burkina Faso, Ghana, Kenya, and multiple locations in India. This club was started in 2003 in Leesburg, Virginia, after Susan Huff brought Sabam Fusome to speak at Heritage High School, and after she spoke, teenagers came up to her asking, "They walk for water, why can't we?" Every year, Walking for Water holds a big event to raise money. Due to the recent health crisis, we have had to adjust our fundraiser to an online platform. This year, our walk falls on June 19th and 20th, which will feature a virtual walkathon, auction items, videos on the effects of walking for water, and more. For more information, go to wisdomspring.org. So for today's show, we have myself, and we also have Sophie. And we have Marco. You guys can introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Sophie. Sophie Mariner. I'm a sophomore here at Laguna Beach High School, and I'm also one of the vice presidents.
I'm Marco Weens, and I'm a sophomore at Laguna Beach High School. And yeah, I'm just a member of the club, and I help with marketing as well.
Very cool. So for today's show, we wanted to talk about the Earth because we recently heard about a new continuation of Wisdom Spring's help in Kenya, and we wanted to get into that a little later. But first, I wanted to ask, Sophie and Marco, I wanted to ask you, how do you believe that the climate changes have affected the country that Wisdom Spring helps?
I think that climate change has affected them just more than, I feel like it's difficult for us to think about how climate change has really affected them or like put ourselves in their shoes, because for us, sometimes I feel like it's difficult to see the changes because we have such a steady environment. In countries like theirs, subtle changes like the weather, less rain and things like that, they see huge, huge changes, while here we kind of just go on with our day. I definitely think that it has made things like 10 times more difficult because they have a certain way of doing things that is already not ideal. And to add on with climate change, it just kind of piles into the things that we are trying to help with, and we're trying the things that Wisdom Spring just really needs to focus on and stuff like that.
Yeah, and like to elaborate, like there's like places in Africa where like I mean, people think of climate change as just like warmer weather, but it's just like so much more than that. When the weather gets warmer, like storm seasons like change, and like the whole weather pattern changes as a whole. So there's places in like Africa, such as Burkina Faso, that are seeing like really intense droughts, and the people there are just like struggling to find water. And we see places like Kenya and the Great Rift Valley, where there's just like insane like storm seasons, and the flooding has displaced this year alone about like 25,000 people from their villages, just because the valley just fills up with water and it's just so much worse than it has been in years previous. And it changes the lifestyles and the culture of all these people who are already living in less than ideal conditions, as Sophie said. And it makes it so much worse for them to, and so much harder for them to continue their lifestyles and their traditions as they usually do. And that's why we have to help them. It's just a big problem that we need to all focus our attention on.
Yeah, I know when we had a presentation on Kenya and the woman was talking about the effects of climate change, I was thinking to myself, oh, wait, right, they're affected by it too. I almost forgot, which I was not happy that I forgot that the other countries were affected by climate change other than the United States. And what really struck me was that their water source that is already extremely scarce is even more scarce due to global warming and climate change. And it scared me a little, because I was like, oh no, like this is affecting them way more than it's affecting us here in the United States. And so that's something that really struck with me. Speaking of, you know, just having, as we're having this conversation, do you have conversations about climate change among your peers or with your family? And if not, do you want to initiate those conversations with people?
I definitely, just now looking back, I definitely think that I'm usually the one in the group who kind of brings up those sort of subjects, not only like with my family as well as just my peers in general. I definitely think that if I hadn't gotten involved in Walking for Water at such a young age, I probably wouldn't be so aware of all the problems that come with climate change, and I definitely wouldn't have the amount of wisdom and the amount of care that I have for the world that I currently do because of Walking for Water. I definitely think that it's a subject that could go either way when it comes to talking to both my family members and my friends. I think that it depends on the friend too, because everybody has their own opinions, of course, and everybody's entitled to their own opinion. So it can be difficult in the way that I try to just approach it lightly and just kind of feel where their opinion's at and always listen to what they have to say, because, you know, who knows, like sometimes they might have something that I didn't know, or they might have another perspective that I could look into. So I definitely feel I should probably talk about it more, but I definitely think that the reason that I talk about it right now is because I'm so aware that of like all the people that are struggling because of Walking for Water.
So. Yeah. And like, for me, I definitely like to bring it up with my friends, my family. I feel like I should do it more often, because I mean, you talk about it, but then like, okay, that's great. What are you going to do about it? You know, because it's so, it's hard to talk about, because we live in like in America and things are great here. We have like a great standard of living, but in other places, just awful. And it's definitely a conversation that people should have. And I definitely think it's a conversation that I should be initiating with more people. I mean, just to spread awareness itself, that's definitely like always a good first step to helping people. And I mean, when I have like these talks with my like friends, like me, like occasionally, not too often, but like, we just like stress like how bad it gets in other places. Like, I mean, we see how like people have to walk half a day or more just to get water for their family, like maybe a bucket or two, or sometimes just like a jug. And it's just so like hard to like think about and comprehend, because it's just something that like we don't have to do, and it's so hard to think and to put ourselves in their shoes. So I definitely think like, yes, I do, but I think I should be doing it more.
I know for me, recently, this was actually kind of what sparked more of my interest on climate change, is we were doing debates in my Model United Nations class, and I had an argument of I was supposed to argue against the banning of plastic water bottles. And at first I'm like, I'm going to lose because like plastic should be banned. But the more research I did, I actually found out that plastic water bottles isn't necessarily the best solution, because if magically the world switched from plastic water bottles to glass water bottles, that would produce more carbon emissions in the transportation of them. And plastic water bottles, for example, are like the lowest carbon footprint. So doing that, it caused me to relook my outlook on climate change, being like, okay, I've had this kind of very tunnel vision outlook, and I haven't been trying to broaden it by doing research and through kind of being on the opposite side of like, yes, keep plastic water bottles. I was able to understand that this issue is so much more complex than I thought it was in the beginning. And so I was really grateful to kind of be able to see like, okay, yes, we all know this is a problem, but the quote unquote simple solutions that people are proposing sometimes aren't as simple as they seem. And so I thought that's something that I try and bring up, is solutions aren't always as face value and as simple as they seem. There's a much deeper problem that needs to be solved when we're talking about the planet and saving it.
Exactly. No, and as you were talking about tunnel vision, I feel like sometimes here in America, we kind of overlook and surpass our own problems. I think that there's definitely a water issue happening within America, specifically speaking, the Native American different reserves have been struggling with water. And I think that if we keep kind of overlooking it and kind of overshadowing it, and even here in our home in Southern California, it's just we haven't really been paying attention to it because, America's portrayed as, so prosperous, advancing, and we don't really seem to have any other issues. I think that that's something that we definitely should focus on. And I think that if we keep ignoring it, it's just going to get worse.
Yeah,
Yeah. And I mean, it's kind of like, what can you do to solve these kinds of problems? And obviously, like as I said, like talking about it is like a great first step to it, but then like how can you make real change happen? And that's like sort of a thing that it's hard to talk about, because when you like think of yourself as like doing charity work, like you usually think of yourself giving money or like having to give time, but then you think like, oh, like I first need to be able to support myself, and need to be able to, I need to make sure I'm doing all these things before I can do that. But I mean, at the same time, charity work isn't just like giving like money per se. You can like, yes, giving time, but it's time well spent. Like you are going out, you're spreading the issue, you're raising money, you're getting donors. It's like a whole thing. And yeah, like, there's only so much a nonprofit can do, and like the real power lies in the government, and that's why we also need to be like outspoken in our communities as well, in order to bring the issues to the people who are in charge.
Yeah. And okay, this is something that interests me, considering I have family members who work in the clean energy field. So even if there wasn't any global warming, do you think it's better to use natural resources such as wind and water? Or should we, if there was no global warming, should we continue on the same pathway of energy that we are currently on?
I mean, when you think about that, I definitely think that even if there wasn't global warming, like humans would realize there's only so much oil and fossil fuel supplies. And that's why it's like, maybe that's why humans would turn to like wind energy and water energy. But yeah, I definitely think that there would be a shift eventually of like from fossil fuels to renewable sources, and like a turn away from that. But like also when you think of like renewable energy, like it has to be sustainable so that it doesn't affect like the environment around it. And it doesn't like, for example, with like a hydroelectric power, like you need to make sure you're not hurting the ecosystem of the river. But I feel like humans would definitely like figure it all out as we're doing right now, and we should be doing more right now. And they'd move on from fossil fuels?
That is honestly such a good question. I don't think I've ever kind of thought about it that way, you know, because that's always the issue, you know, fossil fuels. And but I mean, I think that if we continued on the right, on the route that we have right now, and it wasn't affecting the planet, I still think that it would affect humans, just because of, like, I guess you could say pollution, but isn't that also climate change? So that kind of shifts the whole perspective of it. If we were, so in that case, I personally don't think that we would change the route, just because pollutions and things like that wouldn't be occurring. The only thing that I could think of that would stop us would be animals and, like, plants, I guess. Like, if we were to continue tearing down trees and tearing down things and creating more factories and things, then we would be running out of environmental space. So I think that would be the thing that shifts us back to renewable resources.
Yeah, no, this is interesting to me too, because I think that the reason that the climate crisis has gotten so talked about is because we are in so much danger. And you hear a lot of people saying, oh, it's the young people's problem, it's their world, their inherit. And so I do think that if the climate crisis wasn't in the state that we're in, I don't think we might have had such a push to wind and water, because I think that the majority of the reason that there is that push is because people are starting to realize that the planet is in danger. And like a lot of the protest signs say, there is no planet B. It's kind of like, this is, you know, this is it. But I definitely think that's interesting, kind of like, if there was no prevalent threat to Earth, would we continue on our ways, or would we change them just because? And speaking of young people, do you think that our peers are prioritizing the value of taking care of themselves and those they love versus the rest of the world? Or what do you think? Do you think people are now prioritizing taking care of the world?
Yeah, I definitely think that. It's just like, when I think of like myself, like taking care of the world, I think like, oh, like in order for myself to take care of the world, I have to take care of myself first. And I definitely think that's a mindset that everybody has. Like, everyone just wants to survive, and everyone wants to, everyone wants to like make sure the planet stays alive. But at the same time, people are always looking out for themselves and the ones they love first. And that's why it's kind of like a problem. But I mean, I think there's also like a healthy balance that you need to find between helping yourself but also helping the planet, and making sure you're just doing your part to help, like, save water, give to the environment, like stop the recycle, sustainably use, you know, plastics, and just to overall like do your part to make sure you're helping to save the planet. And that's something that people need to pick up on, and people need to find that balance within their lives, because it's dire right now. Like, people, like scientists say, if we don't do anything before 2030, which is like 9 years away, then there may not be much more we can do. And so that's why it definitely needs to get a jump. People need to get a jump start on it.
No, yeah. Another thing is, like, I definitely think COVID has allowed people to expand their peripheral vision. I think that there has been just everybody kind of was focused on their own thing, and, you know, if it wasn't benefiting them or their family, there wasn't something that they were interested in doing, just because people were focused on their own paths. But now I think that people have taken the time and done the research and kind of been listening to other causes instead of the ones that they were mostly focused on from the very beginning, which was probably themselves or their education. I definitely think that people they're starting to see climate change as more sustainable, and that there could be a lot of jobs and different opportunities within that kind of, you know, the field of sustainable energy. And I think that the more people that get educated and the more people that truly start expanding their different priorities, I think that they could really see how many opportunities there is within that. And I don't know if people my age personally have stopped prioritizing, you know, have started prioritizing others. I think that there are a lot of people my age who, in specifically in Walking for Water, I can definitely say that we have all expanded and we all prioritize not only ourselves and our family, but helping others, because that's kind of what we're here for. But other people, I feel like it's definitely taken a little bit longer for them to prioritize something else. And it's definitely it could be debated whether or not people have actually started to care more because of COVID. But personally, I do think so.
I think there's definitely been, in just everyone, I think there's been a greater awareness of what's going on around the world in any capacity. It doesn't necessarily have to be just with the planet, but I think that people have started to become more aware that the world isn't made up of one country. It's made up of hundreds. And I think that it's been really heartwarming and really cool to see people opening their minds and opening their hearts and being able to listen to other opinions. I think that that's become something that's been more crucial in today's age and has been more accepted, is listening to other people's opinions and being able to maybe separate a person like from their opinions. Like if you and your friends have different opinions, but you're still able to be friends because you have the same morals or the same values. And I think that that's been really cool. But I definitely think there's been a push to focus on the rest of the world and not be so much just focused on yourself and the little bubble that you live in. So on that note, we are going to take a break and we are going to play a song that both Susan and I love. It goes perfectly with our theme. It's all about the earth. It's A Love Song to the Earth by Paul McCartney. So here it is on KXFM.
This is an open letter from you and me together. Tomorrow's in our hands now.
Find the words that matter, say them out loud. I make it better somehow.
Looking down from up on the moon is a tiny blue marble. Who'd have thought the ground would stand on?
Could be so fragile.
Keep it
so.
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 That was Love Song to the Earth by Paul McCartney. I love that song. So we wanted to talk a little bit now about Walking for Water and what an upcoming project is in Kenya that's a continuation of what we do. So for those of you who don't know, Walking for Water partners with Wisdom Spring to build wells in developing countries. And with a well, we are able to save thousands of people, thousands of hours, because due to us building a well, they don't have to walk for 8 hours to go get water, and they are able to use those hours in their day to something else, and we are able to educate the children and educate the women there, and they're able to, you know, they're able to change their future because they don't need to walk for water. But recently in Kenya, which is one of the countries that we work in, there is a pipeline that is being built with, we have India Project partnering with Fende and My Chosen Vessels. And so the drilling of the pipeline requires extensive surveys and support from the local government. So it's a much more tedious and intense project than building a well. The terrain generally also requires drilling deep to assure that consistent water source is tapped. Also, most wells require additional infrastructure such as storage tanks, troughs for animals, and reinforced drinking areas. And this pipeline is going in near the Maasai area with the Maasai people. And because the Maasai tend to have many heads of cattle, sheep, and goats, it's essential to create separate areas for those animals to drink from. And however, the ongoing numbers each day coming to the wells mean the grounds become churned and unclean. And so it's really just about making sure that these people have consistent water. And sometimes the well doesn't always, you know, last for the future. So this pipeline that is being built is going to sustain them for a long time. It's also extremely more expensive. So Marco and Sophie, I'd love to hear what you guys just kind of think about kind of Walking for Water and what it's kind of taught you. And if you want to talk about wells and the pipeline and anything.
I definitely think that the first time that we got on Zoom and we met the person, Susan and I, we were in her back porch. And I think that one of the biggest things was that they ask, you know, the opinion of the women who actually walk and get the water, and they have to separate them from the males because they feel they don't get to say, they don't have a voice when they're around them. So they must separate them. And I think that it's just a beautiful process that they get asked their opinion and they get asked where it should be put in. And I think that them being implemented in the process is one of the most beautiful things about this project. I definitely think that besides saving some 20,000 lives, it's also important that we respect their culture and the way that they are used to doing things, and also learn from them, as well as have them have them let us help them, because that's all we're there to do. And I just thought it was beautiful the way that the head lady who explained it to us just kind of said that they've been working them for a while, and that, you know, it makes the children super happy, and that the children like to dance around. And I just thought it was beautiful how they gave women a voice and they gave the children a voice.
Yeah, like, I definitely think it's, like, such a great project. And, like, the Maasai people are such a unique culture. Like, they're extremely sustainable, and they do such an amazing job keeping their culture alive. But at the same time, like, they're in danger. Like, they have to do so much to survive. Like, climate change has greatly affected how they live their lives. And then now this pipeline is endangering their very, like, sacred culture as well. And it's great that we go in there, and it's great, like, the process of, like, the lady that explained to us how they do it. And it's just such a great thing that we need to be doing, and also we need to be paying attention to. And it's just, and also just the wildlife around there too. Like, the Maasai people have been living in harmony with the wildlife, and they have such a sustainable culture where they use everything, they give back to nature as well. They only, I believe it's something like they only use like certain like trees to build their homes, so that like they don't endanger the environment and so many things, and we can learn a lot from them as well. So that's why it's such a great thing what we're doing.
Yeah, I know that when Jessica gave us the presentation on Kenya and the pipeline project, I realized how intricate everything is, because I initially thought, yes, we raise the money and then the well gets put in magically. It just happens. And the more I've learned about it, the more I realize that's not the case. There's so many intricacies that have to go into place. And like Sophie and Marco, like you guys were saying, we're trying to not interrupt their ways. We're trying to help them, but we're not trying to change the way they live, because they've been able to survive for so long and have these amazing and beautiful traditions that we want to help them keep alive. And so I think that it's definitely a little more intricate and more complex than I initially thought it was, as they have to communicate with the villages that they're helping. Okay, we're not trying to intrude on your lifestyle. We're not trying to change your lifestyle. We just want to bring you water. I think that's an important message. Is we at Walking for Water and Wisdom Springs, we're not trying to change them. We're trying to help them and give them a brighter future. Sophie, I know you have many, many Sabamfu stories, and I know that I think you tell them every time you come on, but I just love your Sabamfu stories. Do you have one that maybe we haven't heard all the time?
My goodness, putting me on the spot like this. One that I have not already told you. Oh my goodness.
Okay. Your favorite one?
No, I've already told my favorite one like multiple times.
Can you tell the one about the woman with the rocks? I don't know if that's a Bonfu story, but I like that story.
Is that a Sabamfu story?
I don't know if it's a Sabamfu story, but it's a story that I know inspired us. Okay, I can tell it. So this is a story that Sophie told me when I first joined. And it's about, I believe it's a woman in Kenya, and she's putting rocks in the water. And okay, we have Susan on here. Susan, do you want to tell the story? Because I do believe it's yours. So,
I mean, there's so many stories, but I can tell you just a beautiful story about how her tradition, a woman came from another tribe and a man, and they asked Sabamfu to speak to their to her mother. And Sabamfu's like, to my mother? What do you mean? So all these women are my mother. She didn't know that she had had an actual mother who had given birth to her, because they're so closely together and so taken care of as a community that she had to ask them, what are these people talking about? My mother. And I just think that's one of the most precious things about how together these indigenous villages work. And really walk together, live together, and support each other on such a deep level.
I love that. I've never heard that story before. That's a new favorite.
No, I just completely blinked.
Yeah, it's okay. That made me feel good inside. That made me feel like all warm and fuzzy inside. Like I love that. I know one story. It was either Susan or Sophie who told me this, but it was a woman. She was frying rocks, and she was doing this because she was trying to convince her children that they had eaten by creating the sound of cooking food, even though she couldn't cook food for them because they had none. And that really struck me as kind of, it opens your eyes to the realization of this is serious. This is like a life or death situation. That's why I think we want to stress that what we're doing here is so important, is because we're trying to save their lives and we're trying to better their futures. And I don't, Marco, why did you join Walking for Water, and what continues to motivate you about Walking for Water?
Yeah, so Sophie was the one who introduced me to the club, and like I had a few friends who were doing it, and I had also thought like I'd always wanted to give back to people, but I never really realized how. And so, yeah, Sophie kind of introduced me to it, and Susan, and the whole club. And I loved it so much because it was like, Of course, like I love like the feeling of doing a great thing, but also just the people and also like giving back. And like we like see pictures of like the wells that we put in the villages, and like it makes us feel so good about it because and it makes us feel so happy because like we're out here helping people, like wells save like thousands of people because it gives them water and it gives them life, and water is life, which is kind of our motto. But I eventually just loved doing it. And I definitely think like after like doing Walking for Water, like I can definitely like see myself coming back more and more. Like I definitely think that after once you give back, you like start to do it more often. I think it's a great, and that's why I just like I originally joined it and then now continue to do it because it's very fun.
Yeah, similarly, I mean, I didn't know Sophie before this club, but now I feel like I've known her like my whole life. I know I joined because I wanted to help people, and then I met Susan and heard about the club and all that they do, and I was thinking to myself, this is amazing, I have to join. And I'm so glad I did because it's taught me so much, and it's also made me realize that this is important, and it's made me realize I'm making change and I'm helping people and I'm doing things that make me happy, and what makes me happy is, you know, helping people and giving back to people. And I know that's what's kind of kept me going, is it's like we're making change, we're helping the world, and that's a really cool thing to be able to do as a teenager, to say that you're changing the world, as Susan always puts it. And so I know that's what's kept me going every single day for Walking for Water. Okay, Sophie, you have, I think, been the longest member of Walking for Water since you were 8 years old. Is that correct?
Yeah. So I came to the U.S. when I was around 7, I believe. And immediately, I believe, less than 6 months after, I met Susan through family friends, and she hasn't left my side since. yeah. I've been, ever since, I was just always Walking for Water this, Walking for Water that, going to these meetings, meeting people in high school who were like at the time 10, 9 years older than me, and me just not caring and just going with them everywhere and kind of being involved in every way that I could. And I've just always been driven to, I guess you could call it, humanitarian projects. I just kind of love helping other people in any way that I can. And I feel like if I know that there's something that I could do and I don't do it, I would hate myself for the rest of my life just because I can't live with, you know, knowing that I could do something and not doing it. So, yeah, no, I've been in Walking for Water for almost, 7 years, around 7 years, yeah.
That's a really, really long time. I've been it for 2 years, so that's very impressive.
Thank you. Yes. Oh, yeah, and I love it. I wouldn't do it if I didn't love it. I definitely think that it's something that you could pour your heart and soul into and continue to do for the rest of your life in different quantities, different amounts, and it's wonderful. I love being a part of this club.
Sophie, has your perspective on Walking for Water changed as you've gotten older? Is there something you've realized about Walking for Water that you didn't when you were younger?
I definitely had a more naive point of view. I love this question. I can definitely say that when I was little, I had a different perspective on the world. Coming from Colombia, which is, technically speaking, when I was growing up there, at least, it was a third world country. And I was just kind of already exposed to so much poverty, you know, visiting, not only living there for the first 7 years of my life, but also visiting back and forth from here to Bogota, which is the capital of Colombia. You could definitely see the different atmospheres and environments, and I don't think that I began to differentiate them until I was a bit older. But as soon as I did, I realized the importance of Walking for Water, and that's when I really started to pour everything I had into Walking for Water, and that's really when I gave it the importance that it deserved and prioritized it, you know, right next to school, because that's how important I thought it should be. And honestly, I thought everybody should make it that important. You know, even in like fifth grade, I was talking to my friends. I was like, you should mind walking for water, you know, like, and in all of middle school, I was, you know, Marco is a good witness. I would talk about it all the time. I would say, you know, walking for water this, I have a meeting this weekend, you know, walking for water that. You're like, you guys should come, you guys should come. And yeah, it was me and my best friend, Kennedy. She goes to OSHA. We were always involved, always doing things. I was always trying to get new people in just because I really wanted them to experience the joy and like the just the amount of accomplishment that I felt when I knew that I was raising money to give people education and allowing them not to have to walk for 8 miles for water. Because that, to me, just that statement alone just makes me so mad. It makes me so angry that there's like millions of people in the United States, millions, that literally could walk 3 steps and turn on a faucet. And then there's millions of people in Africa who literally have to walk like 8 miles a day just to go get water. Like, that is insane.
Yeah, it's pretty astonishing that I rethink every time I go to the fridge for water. I'm like, okay, that, how many steps did that take me? That took me 10.
It's insane. You really start focusing so much on everything you do and you realize how fortunate you are.
Yes, it's walking for water has definitely taught me many great life lessons.
Okay, so yeah, do you want to share some?
I think it's just taught me to appreciate everything I have more. I've definitely felt an influx of gratitude since I've joined the club, and I've really gotten to look at my life and kind of had this decrease in wanting, like, oh, I want this, I want that. It's like I've been able to reevaluate everything that I do have and realize how grateful that I am for everything. And I think that that's the biggest lesson that walking for water has taught me is gratitude. And I think that's a very important lesson. And while I want to say I've had gratitude my whole life, I don't think I've had it at the same level since I joined Walking for Water. There's definitely kind of a boost in my feeling of gratitude towards everything when I joined the club. Marco, what's the biggest lesson?
Biggest lesson from joining this club or what I've learned?
Yes.
I definitely would say that just that giving back is important, and that you really need to dedicate yourself to helping people who are less fortunate than you, because I mean, we're all humans, we're all in this together, and it's a fight that we can't win by ourselves. And we all need to realize that we need to like work together and we need to give back. And that's kind of what I've always seen as like a big lesson that I've learned from being a part of Walking for Water. And I love doing it too. I mean, it's just like something that like people don't do it, but when people do, like, I feel like they have a really good time doing it, especially when they're doing it with a lot of people. Cause it's just like, you have like the value of community, you have like the value of like giving, and that's something that humans all, I feel like, can bond over and can help each other and the entire planet survive with.
I love that. Okay, so we're going to play another song, and this is a song that I think everyone loves. It makes you happy. And so now we're going to play Crocodile Rock by Elton John. I love this song. I hope everybody else loves this song. So here it is on KXFM.
Die.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Walking for Water Teen Action on KXFM. And I wanted to share kind of a scary statistic that one of our presidents presented to us, that Keller presented, because we're talking about how the people in Kenya, Burkina Faso, and in India walk for 20 miles a day, 8 hours a day to go for water. And we wanted to kind of provide a similar statistic on how long that actually is. So we all have cell phones, right? If you look at your screen time and you average about 5 hours a day, that's 75 days a year, which is about 8.5 years over 30 years that you're on your phone. And kind of essentially depends on what you're doing on your phone, but wasting your time. If you're, you know, taking calls and doing your work stuff or other educational stuff on your phone, that's fine. But if, you know, you're absentmindedly scrolling and playing video games, that's a lot of time. So in reality, kind of the amount of time that you spend on your phone, if you're the person who averages 5 hours a day on your phone, is the time people spend walking for water. It's kind of crazy, right? I don't know. How do you guys feel? I know I kind of saw that statistic and I was like, that's a lot of time. I didn't realize it was that much time.
It's crazy.
That's crazy, dude. I can't even think about, like, half the time I'm just listening to music, which is, like, what I spend my phone on, or texting back and forth to Susan, or just kind of, or even my friends. Like, I probably spend most of my time just texting back and forth with my friends, and the fact that while I've been, you know, having a silly conversation about food or whatever, or even like what nails they wanted to get, you know, like stupid conversations like that. Somebody has been walking to get water and to return it for their family. Just really puts into perspective the privilege. Crazy.
Yeah, definitely. Me too. Like, I would say my phone average is like maybe like 5:15 to 5:30 a day, which a little bit more than 8.5 years wasted over 30 years, which honestly, like, yeah, some of it's like texting friends and stuff, or just like making plans, or just like maybe like doing a call, or like reading like an article, which isn't too often, but like most of it definitely is like maybe scrolling through some sort of like social media, like mindlessly, just like kind of bored, or like watching Netflix on my phone. Like, I definitely am guilty of this, and it's just like, I don't like the statistic because it really applies to me, but at the same time, like, yeah, like, I definitely, like, admit it, and I definitely, seeing the statistic, think I can be doing so much more with my time, and it's, like, crazy that, like, while I'm kind of just, like, scrolling through Instagram or TikTok, like, a person's walking for water, like, all day long, like, maybe in, like, the heat, in the rain, like, it's just insane.
Yeah, I know. I always get this tight feeling in my stomach whenever I see that my screen time has gone up. I was like, oh, I need to get off my phone. But yeah, that definitely kind of struck a chord with me. I'm like, okay, that's how long it is. And speaking of walking for water, I know before the break we talked about why you guys joined and what effect it's had on you personally. But how do you think walking for water is helping you shape your future and what happens after high school?
I mean, I've developed so many skills just being in Walking for Water. I definitely think that I am a better speaker, public speaker, because of it. I've developed a sense of leadership and how to manage my bossiness. I definitely think that those are skills that I'm going to need. And not only just with people, but also organization and managing people and making sure that they're where they need to be and doing what they're supposed to be doing and organizing different timing and my own time and just knowing how to prioritize different things. Just, I think that's really going to help me in my future and my near future in college. Just because I'm going to need to prioritize certain things and going to need to organize my time efficiently so that I am able to balance my life. So I think balance is one of the main key that I've learned from Walking for Water. Also, I think Walking for Water really made me step out of my comfort zone. There are things that, for example, I definitely think that if you would have asked me, like, when I was little, if I was going to be talking on radio shows, I would have told you no, because I just didn't. I love talking to people, but I think I would get in my head. And, you know, the fact that, especially Zoom, the fact that you can see yourself, that definitely would have gotten to me, just because there was a lot of confidence issues. But I think through Walking for Water, I've overstepped those and I've become to love myself and, you know, see the love in others and the positivity in others. And patience is also another thing that I've learned. So I definitely think that that's going to help me in my future life.
Yeah, good job, Sophie. Like, I definitely think a lot of the same things for me. Like, just going around, like, when I originally joined and, like, going around downtown and picking, like, going to the small shops and pitching, like, our cause and, like, asking for donations from, like, different shops, like, that definitely made me such a better speaker, and it kind of helped, like, with my social skills and stuff. And it made me, like, and also, yeah, like, on the Zooms, too, like, having to collaborate and talk with other people, like, it definitely helped, like, my confidence, my, like, overall, like, social standing, my social skills. My just, like, I'm really thankful for that. And also, just like, as Sophie said, like, organization and seeing what goes into planning, like, these kinds of events, like, it's really interesting, and it's, like, great experience to have, and I loved having, being able to do that. And also another big thing that I think I'm able to carry on from Walking for Water, like, onward, is just, like, once I get out of the high school, like, I definitely think I'll, it gives you, like, a charitable spirit. Like, it makes you want to go out and help more. So I definitely think after high school, like, I might want to help Walking for Water more, or I'll find, like, some other organizations that, like, maybe at my college that I go to. And I just want to always, like, find more ways to be helping people. And most likely, like, people, like, who we help in Walking for Water who are in need and, like, need things like water and just basic human, like, necessities. And I definitely think, yeah, from Walking for Water, getting that sort of spirit to help others.
Yeah, I definitely think that Walking for Water, in terms of my future, has definitely reminded me to continue to be of service, no matter what that looks like. Just, it's always, you know, now it's kind of ingrained in me to just be of service and do as much as you can. So, yeah, whether that's continuing with Walking for Water after I graduate or doing something different, it's very much so taught me to be of service. So we're gonna play another song, and this song I have a very personal connection to, because U2 is my parents' favorite artist. It's their favorite music. Like, when we go on road trips, they're just like, play some U2 songs and we'll be happy. And this song, you know, it's a good song. So this is Beautiful Day by U2 on KXFM.
Is a blue shoots up through the stony ground. There's no room, no space to rent in this town. You're out of luck, and the reason that you had to care, the traffic is stuck, and you're not moving anywhere. You thought you found a friend take you out of this place, someone you can lend a hand in return for grace. It's a beautiful I
See channel right in front of you. See the canyons broken by cloud. See the tuna fleets clearing the sea out. See the bedroom fires at night. See the oil fields at first light. And see the bird with the leaf in her mouth. After the flood, all the colors came out.
Welcome back, everyone, to Walking for Water Teen Action on KXFM. And we just wanted to say that if you want to help, if you want to help Wisdom Spring Walking for Water, you can go to wisdomspring.org. Or if you want to join us on our virtual walk, you can go to wisdomspring.org/virtual. So Sophie and Marco, is there any last thoughts that you have to everybody listening or any call to actions that you want to inspire them with?
I just want to say that if you've been listening, thank you for listening. If you know you're just catching the end of this, we are a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful organization that I fell in love with at a very young age. And I would encourage you to please get involved in our virtual walk, walkingforwater.org/virtual/. And I would love just to have you guys participate in any way that's possible.
Yeah, thank you so much for listening, anybody who was on here. I think we all had a great time. Loved talking with Sophie and Caspi. It's so fun. And go support our organization, as Sophie said, Walking for Water. We're doing our virtual walk on June 19th and 20th. If you want more information, go to wisdomspring.org. And we're really excited this year. We raised just over $35,000 last year. We were able to put in, I think, 3 or 4 wells. And this year we're aiming higher and we're super excited and it's going to be great. And thank you guys for talking with me today too.
Oh, anytime, Marco. I love talking with you and Sophie. You guys are awesome. And you guys are another reminder of why I did this club is because there's amazing people doing it. I would just like you to say thank you to everyone listening. Thank you to KX for allowing us to do this and to talk about Walking for Water for an hour. And yeah, if you want to find more information about our mission and how you can help, please visit wisdomspring.org or wisdomspring.org/virtual. And thank you for listening to Walking for Water Teen Action on KXFM. We'll see you all soon.